The U.S. economy looks better than it has in more than a decade. A remarkable 3.1% growth rate in 2018 produced some $280 billion in additional economic output, along with record unemployment and a modest uptick in wages. But whether it's sustainable will depend in part on meeting the demand for skilled labor, even as new technology and innovation continue to change the employment landscape. Nationwide, employers support nearly 7 million unfilled jobs in skilled trades, with about 80,000 such openings in Michigan, and the gap is projected to increase significantly over the next 5 years. We'll discuss state and local efforts to close that gap next on Media Meet. Welcome to WNMU's Media Meet. I'm Bill Hart. Our guests are Michigan Works Partnership Coordinator Holly Peoples, Local 1510 Michigan Regional Council of Carpenters Regional Director Brian Kerrigan, and Upper Peninsula Construction Council Executive Director Tony Rutaski. Welcome.
Thank you.
Let's have a look at the people and organizations represented on our panel. Holly, you've worked in workforce and economic development in the region since 1998. Could we get a profile of services and opportunities in skilled trades covered by Michigan Works?
Absolutely. So we're really excited to be working with the skilled trades, and we have for a number of years done things with them in terms of their recruiting of their new apprentices and testing of their new apprentices. But one of the things that we're very excited about this year, and it's brand new, is the Going Pro Talent Fund was codified into legislation in 2018, and as a part of that codification, the Joint Apprenticeship Training Committees are an eligible training provider to receive funds through that program. Okay. And so we're having a targeted outreach to the trades to make sure that they're benefiting from that fund as much as possible. So that's very exciting for us.
Okay. Brian, Carpenters Local 1510 covers most of the Upper Peninsula except for the far eastern end. You've been active in the trades, collective bargaining, and executive functions. Can you tell us more about the current local education and training operations?
Great. Yeah. Currently, in the UP, the Carpenters and Millwrights, the Michigan Regional Council of Carpenters and Millwrights, are investing $9+ million in a new state-of-the-art training facility that'll be located in Negaunee Township. Across the state, we're investing currently $55 million in three brand new state-of-the-art training facilities, as well as our international organization. It typically invests $250 million a year annually in apprenticeship and training all across the country and also into Canada. We've got a lot of great opportunities to invest in our communities. We're going to be taking workers directly out of the communities, whether they be young men and women, people that are starting a new career with us. We have a commitment to our contractors, our contracting partners, to get them the best trained, most skilled, most productive workforce in the business, and we're proud to be able to provide that opportunity at the training center. And we also have some great opportunities for people to earn and learn to come into that training center where we will be conducting in a 30,000 square foot arena, some phenomenal training in many different areas of carpenter and millwright skills for not only for apprentices, but journeymen and ongoing learning with them as well.
Okay, we'll get back to some of those things about the center soon. Tony, you're something of an elder statesman in the labor and education arenas. You're a former Marquette School Board president,
yes.
A member of various advisory groups related to small business labor and careers. You help run the UP Construction Council. What's the role of the council in education and training?
I think the role of the council in education and training is outreach. We have to make sure that the young people know that there's opportunities out there in the trades. I work with 11 different apprenticeship training programs,
wow.
And each one of those programs is looking for the next generation. So with the council, we're able to get into the classrooms, we're able to host career fairs, and let kids try
the trades for a day in some sense. And it's not just all about kids. We're recruiting others as well, dislocated workers. We're partners with Michigan Works and some of their efforts. It's just been a great opportunity for us to recruit people into the trades because the opportunities are there, and not just here in the UP, it's nationwide right now. And it's a really great feeling to know that there's opportunities for our young people out there. I'm very passionate about that.
Okay, I see. After years of slow growth, unemployment rates are low, jobs are expanding, yet 60% of contractors nationwide had trouble finding skilled workers last year, 80,000 of those openings in Michigan. Holly, what's the current picture on the demand for skilled trades education and training at this point?
Sure. So Tony mentioned the 11 actual organized labor unions that we do partner with, as well as the Construction Council partners with them. Mm-hmm. But there's also high skilled openings across all of the universe of jobs that are out there. And we're primarily talking about the labor unions right now. And currently we're working with Brian to recruit for their June class, which will be coming up pretty soon. And we're working with the other unions on their ongoing processes. But we also post and recruit for a lot of different manufacturing companies across the Upper Peninsula, healthcare companies, just any company that's looking for highly skilled workers, we're there to help them find those people.
Okay. In terms of all jobs, the top 10 are mostly in health and service industries, but most of those pay less than $30,000 a year. Exceptions are nursing, computer program design, and general managers. In what range are competitive salaries and skilled trades?
So we actually were talking about this right before we came in here, and the electricians in particular are about $6,000 above the national average in the Upper Peninsula, which is significant. And, when we look at the other trades, they're right at that average or a little bit above. And when you look at their benefit packages, their overall, their pensions and their health care benefits and all those kinds of things, they're top of the notch in terms of what their competitiveness is in the labor market.
Okay. Skilled trade jobs most in demand seem to represent areas that are still fundamental to everyday life, with average annual pay rates between $45,000 and $60,000, according to federal figures. The top jobs in order are heavy truck driver, carpenter, plumber, and electrician. Technology is changing. How secure are those professions long term? What would you say?
I would say that they're secure long term. It's hard to, I think, maybe import our jobs or export our jobs. Yeah. In the same sense, it's hard to get technology to install lighting in homes in some areas. Technology has changed in our apprenticeship training programs, though a lot of our apprentices are doing things that we didn't do when we were apprentices.
And they're doing technological savvy.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. Buildings are laid out in the palm of your hand in some sense. So it's really changed. I think the future is still wide open for young people coming in, and they're actually better trained than us when we were apprentices because of technology.
Okay. Let me ask one question here. You mentioned men and women being welcome in these, in the trade organizations and everything, but are you seeing a lot of interest among women in the trades?
I feel like it grows all the time, and we're all in the schools, in an ongoing way, talking to young people and talking to women and really encouraging them to participate and kind of get their hands dirty a little bit more. And as a matter of fact, the Apprentice of the Year, the UP Apprentice of the Year a couple years ago, was a female boilermaker. So, trying to get the word out to those females.
Okay, and there's a long history of this with unions, right, Brian?
Yeah, absolutely. Since the inception of unions, they've always treated all workers with dignity and respect and never discriminated by age, race, color, and everyone. If you could do the job, you would make the pay, regardless of gender or anything else. So there's a long, deep history within a lot of the unions of one rate of pay, depending on skill, ability, and you start out as an apprentice, right, and work your way up. You make a percentage of what a journey person would make and make your way up. But once you're there, it's whatever you want to do as far as moving above and beyond the normal expectation of skills or skill sets into foreman position, superintendent, project management, other areas where you might have even a higher opportunity to earn more.
Okay. In August, Local 1510, as you mentioned, broke ground in Negaunee Township on a 30,000-foot skilled trade center for carpenters and millwrights. It's projected to open by the fall, as I understand. About a year construction, is that right?
Yes.
All right, okay. Brian, how did the project come about?
Our organization found that the key to our success is, one, organizing new talent and outreach, and we're proud to work with all of our partners, including Michigan Works and the Upper Peninsula Construction Council, mm-hmm. to have the opportunity to reach new folks. But our commitment is, and our value is, what we can train our members in. And there again, our commitment is the best skilled, most trained, most productive, safest workforce. As we do that, it comes with a cost. And that cost, that as we see it, will be our investment in the future of our communities and our contractors and in this, you know, the community at large. But we've invested heavily in, so people have a livable wage, that they have a career where they're really not limited. There's no glass ceiling here of what they could potentially do. There's employment opportunities locally. Once you earn the skills, you can travel those skills out with you to anywhere. They're portable and mobile. Every state, correct, okay. Absolutely. Some states have unique statewide certifications, but we arm all of our apprentices and journeymen with those certifications and skills in certain areas. And literally, there's dozens and dozens of certifications that they potentially could get within various markets of where they might want to work.
In terms of this center now, what are the range of programs and skills being covered? You mentioned, yep. carpentry. Then there's
millwright
work, which is machinery or based mm-hmm. on machinery.
Correct.
What else?
Well, those are the two categories, or yeah. the affiliates. We're kind of one. We are a combined local. We represent both carpenters and millwrights, 500 members at large, 350-ish to 400 carpenters, and 150 millwrights.
Okay.
We train in many areas. You think wood, carpentry, yeah, but carpenters do a whole lot more. We're one of the larger workforces on any job is the carpenter. We do most every project from dirt to drapes. We're in the ground doing concrete footings and foundations. We're assisting in form work. We're building decks, walls, ceilings, roofs. We're doing internal construction, trim, flooring, drywall, which might include metal studs, exterior, windows, doors. And we're also, in the meantime, learning layout, instruments, how to install commercial door hardware. There's a lot of areas that we get into with our skills and the training for those skills.
A lot of subsets of skills.
Correct.
Right.
And good opportunities to know, to be well-rounded in your skills, or to be able to follow one of those paths and do it really well, and you have an employer that might just employ you just to do that one particular skill. Scaffolding's another one. With a lot of the industrial work that we do, and we predominantly are in light commercial, and industrial work, we do some residential work, but industrial scaffold builders are very common and needed for us, so that's a specific and unique skill set that we train in. And our millwrights are machinery, installation, most of the moving parts at large plant, mill, mine, power generation facilities, including dams, use turbines,
sure.
Moving machines and equipment, and that falls under the category of the installation, service, repair, maintenance. Of most of that equipment is what the millwrights do. They do alignment, aligning, precision optics on making sure that these million-dollar components last through the warranty, and they're getting paid a lot of money to do that, so precision matters.
Right.
But they also weld and get into rigging of components. Most of their equipment, things they work with, is heavy, thousands, possibly, you know, many tons that they're lifting and rigging, and how you hoist, rig, and move that stuff is important, something that we train in. Safety is one of the huge factors that's in every component of every bit of training that we do, is safety, because safety always matters, and it's mm-hmm. and it's a way that you have to live on the job, and we need to make sure that we provide the best, safest safety culture within our members, for our contractors, and for everyone on the job site.
You mentioned overall costs for the union. What about overall costs to the center for the people who are taking part?
Yeah, we're as most of the trades are, the building trades, the construction trades are self-funded, which means you pay into funds that manage the things that you need, your benefits, a pension, okay, an annuity, healthcare. Training falls under one of those categories of a benefit, mm-hmm, that is for the member and also for the contractor, our contracting partners, the employers who they actually work for. We are the ones that prep and ready them, mm-hmm, to be ready on the job, and the expectation is that they will always be safe and workforce ready, that our members are investing in that commitment to train and be valuable to the employer, keeps them employed, and we help by assisting in skill development along the way.
Okay. I'm going to take a moment here to remind our viewers, and especially our radio listeners, we're talking about the skilled trades gap and how we're closing it with Michigan Works Partnership Coordinator Holly Peoples, Local 1510 Michigan Regional Council of Carpenters Regional Director Brian Kerrigan, and Upper Peninsula Construction Council Executive Director Tony Rutaski. The last June, then-Governor Rick Snyder signed legislation committing $100 million towards skilled trades, training, and career exploration. It's actually more than that in terms of where the money's going to be spent. It covers scholarships, child care, classroom equipment, and training programs in schools. Snyder called it something of a Marshall Plan, or made an analogy with the Marshall Plan. Your observations on the plan and how effective it could be, Tony?
Well, I think it could be very effective. It already has proven itself in some areas. I think right now it's probably on a little bit of a holding pattern. I think they're starting the second or third round of funding for the Marshall Plan, and they're accepting grants pretty soon. So there's a lot of consortiums that are working together right now across the Upper Peninsula and across Michigan for that matter, and some are joined with their partners downstate that, mm-hmm, might come from the UP. So there's some tremendous opportunities coming with the Marshall Plan, and I think it's just right now that they're waiting to regroup a little bit.
With all those interests and constituencies, does $100 million sound like enough money?
My opinion, no. I think, yeah, that, you know, but we're always resilient. We can do more with less. But I also think that what this has done is brought folks together that normally might not sit across the table from each other and discuss mutual problems.
Okay. Holly, you'd mentioned, are the programs you just mentioned connected to this big Marshall Plan effort?
I think it's all connected, and in the Upper Peninsula, I think we do a really good job of keeping things connected and working together, and like Tony said, really getting around the table and working through some problems and hashing things out. You know, we've had these partnerships have been going on for years and will continue for years, and we're always looking for bigger and better partnerships and bigger and better projects to do to impact the skilled labor force in the UP.
Okay. In the effort to reinvent the state's talent pipeline, a lot of emphasis is being given, you've already mentioned, to apprenticeships. Tony, you're a state apprenticeship steering committee member since 2011. There are all sorts of training and education options for careers, the data shows a lot of people are unclear on what exactly apprenticeships are, how they work, and what they entail for a prospective employee. What about, we mentioned a little bit about costs for candidates. What do you see there as a way of helping to inform people more about what an apprenticeship actually is?
I think we really need to get a little more public with it. Our apprenticeship programs are privately funded. We don't celebrate that enough. We do get some grants and opportunities, and we partner with community members and folks like Michigan Works. But I think that we need to really get out there a little bit more and celebrate these apprenticeship training programs, because they're all about career laddering. Mm-hmm. It's an opportunity for a young person or somebody that maybe wants to change careers. It trains you for not just a job, but a career. So I think we really haven't done as good a job as we could do. We try to do as much as we can to inform people about apprenticeship training programs, but they're really a great way for a young person or maybe somebody in the, you know, that's a dislocated worker to get some training and move on with their life.
What's attractive immediately is a kind of earn and learn sort, mm-hmm, of idea. But you've told us something about the process, Brian. What about the time, actually?
Timeline, it can vary. Someone who comes in, say, right out of high school, without a lot of work history and experience, is probably going to start out at 60% apprentice, meaning they're they're going to have the entire benefit package, but their wage is going to be 60% of what a journeyman would make. Okay. They're going to train about 150 or 160 hours a year, usually in block training. That's 4 weeks of a year is spent in the classroom in related instruction and shop exercises. And the remainder of the time is on the job learning that is conducted out in the field with employers. However, after 4 years, they're advancing 10% a year in pay. Mm-hmm. Our contracts are usually determined well in advance. Pay rates have been moving forward for quite a long time, or at least the total package. The wage is only part of it.
Okay, sure.
It's about half of our total package. A journeyman wage for a carpenter is about $25. Total mm-hmm. package is roughly $45 with all the benefits included. So right. you could consider that as the entire package or wage and package of about $45 for a carpenter. And that's it takes them 4 years to complete the program.
But they're busy from day one. Right?
From day one. And they have an expectation, and we have commitments with the employers that they will take off during their scheduled work weeks of work to participate in the training programs. And we try and do the bulk of our training for construction work, fall, winter, and in late winter into spring, and keep them out there in the field working in the summer. And the exact opposite for the millwrights. The millwright cycles of work seem to be busiest when the outages, mills, plant, mine outages take place in fall, winter, and spring. So we're trying to do a lot of the training for the millwrights spring, summer to fall. So we have good cycle and use of our facility as well that way all year round.
Okay. Some people are, there's a lot of programs right now being offered in high schools and universities under the rubric of career and technical education. How do the apprenticeships differ from that? I mean, apart from the earn and learn from day one thing, this is CTE the part of the same thing, or is it?
I think it can be a really good feeder.
Yeah.
For them, there are some tech centers throughout the Upper Peninsula who are really good feeders for some of these programs. As a matter of fact, we see young people coming directly from, I'll just say, the Delta Schoolcraft ISD directly into the UP Plumbers and Pipefitters who are down the road. And I think we're all seeking those kids out, right? I mean, we're all in their classrooms talking about these programs and trying to engage them in
These relationships are a little confusing right now, but they're very interesting in terms of how they all, how they do dovetail eventually. That work and trades became less attractive as college careers were heavily promoted after World War II. Were apprenticeships sort of a casualty of that shift?
I think a little bit.
Some people are saying it's still with us. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think, apprenticeships are making a comeback, and I think it's people that maybe not be as informed as they could be about apprenticeship training programs. It's not just in the construction industry, although I think we're the leaders as far as apprenticeships are concerned. But I think that manufacturers, and they're in healthcare right now, there used to be
I saw pages of them.
Yeah, there's still quite a few, and I think that they're making a large comeback right now because it's a way for a company or a particular training facility to train a person and career ladder them. But at the same time, they're getting an opportunity to make a living wage in their community and be a contributor to their community as well. So apprenticeships are really coming back in a sense. I can't remember what the numbers were, but we just heard from Mr. Davis at the Department of Labor Office of Apprenticeship, and they've more than doubled in the last few years of how many apprentices are in the state of Michigan right now. So
Now higher education is laboring to meet a demand for workers in what are called STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, and math. Similar to vocational training, with specialized training often dovetailing into a degree of some kind, 4-year degree, often a 2-year degree. How effective are these partnerships with 2- and 4-year institutions, would you say, Holly?
In terms of apprenticeship programs?
In terms of the STEM fields and apprenticeships, the partnerships with the universities, are they helping to develop these trade skills?
Sure. Well, I'd see, you know, we're looking at a little bit different of a pathway, but these STEM fields are incredibly important. One example I think that Michigan in particular has been extremely successful on in feeding kids into STEM careers would be the FIRST Robotics program. Michigan is second only to California in the number of FIRST Robotics teams in the state. I recruit for judges for some of the FIRST Robotics competitions in the Upper Peninsula. And it's been going on long enough that now I'm seeing kids who were on FIRST Robotics teams who are coming back as judges, and they're engineers, and so, you know, that's working. So that's an exciting thing, too.
The most in-demand college degrees in 2019 in order are computer science, engineering, and business communications. All would seem useful in trade industries in some way. Do you see efforts in trades to connect these fields to improve worker education? That's sort of what I was getting at in another way. Go ahead.
If I could, just I'm a perfect example of that. Alumni from NMU with a communication degree that used it later on as an educator within our programs. These relationships are really valuable to us. Communication skills that are needed to have a successful job are more important than ever. The ability to communicate, how you communicate, when, the medium or means that you communicate on the job is important. And many of these things are learned from the foundation of knowledge of an education. And we have partnered in many ways with the university and other programs, the construction management, mechanics and maintenance, and all these things that are kind of dovetailing into the jobs that we do now too with, as Holly said, robotics and others.
It's clear the new technology has had an enormous impact on labor and the means of production. In some cases, robots can produce more in a day than a guy on the floor used to do, 20 guys on the floor used to be able to make. Automation is splitting the workforce into those who have specialized skills and those who don't, with obvious consequences for jobs, wages, and investment. Now, are the trades keeping up? Are they seizing the opportunity to evolve new or improved occupations? We've got about a minute.
Brian, I'll let you take that because you have some technology.
I would say absolutely. We're investing in new energy solutions, solar technologies, installation of solar, including robotics that we're getting into to place equipment and doing more and more with that side of the technology. We're also investing in a lot of areas of production work. The Amazons and all those, the large manufacturing plants, we're the ones in there setting those up for service, which is some computer work, IT work, where it's easier to maybe train a guy to run a software than to teach him how to build and construct, do that job. So a lot of our folks are transitioning into a lot of those jobs and part of the process, but bringing into play a lot of different areas and fields that aren't just wrenches and hammers and the basic tools that you think one might use.
Okay, I'm afraid we're out of time. We've been talking about the skilled trades gap with Michigan Works Partnership Coordinator Holly Peoples, Local 1510 Michigan Regional Council of Carpenters Regional Director Brian Kerrigan, and Upper Peninsula Construction Council Executive Director Tony Rutaski. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Bill Hart. Thanks for joining us on Media Meet.
The preceding program was produced in studios located in the Edgar L. Hardin Learning Resources Center by WNMU-TV, Northern Michigan University Public Television.